is this, that God has a will. You know, there's things he wants, and he wants you to know what it is, okay? If you're thinking it's something he doesn't want you to know about, or that he's hiding it, or it's like, haha, good luck, it's like an Easter egg on a game somewhere or whatever, like, that's not what it is. God has a will. Last week we defined the word will from the Greek word thelema, which means desire or pleasure, right? This is what God's desire is for you, what pleases him in your life. That's what he longs for you, right? And he wants you to know what it is. He's not hiding. He wants you to know it. And yet so many things in our life and so many things in this world keep us away from it. They distract us and the noise. Hey, could you move that camera down just a little bit back there, Sean? Again, it's me and my short complex here. I feel like I'm a little less headroom. Thank you, brother. I have to look at myself. If you had to look at yourself while you're teaching, would you not? It's on that back screen, so it's like, okay, everything all right? Zipped up? We're good. All right. I do that all pre, so we're all good. Don't worry about it. Where was I? We're talking about God's. It's God's will for my fly to be up. That's always God's will when I'm preaching. But God has a will. He wants you to know what it is. Ephesians chapter 5, kind of a key verse, you know, for this whole series. Be very careful then how you live, right? This is a challenge to us. Like, be careful how you live. Like, just don't be like, well, whatever. It's just, you know, like, if you live that way, whatever's going to come your way, right? And that can be good or bad. He said, no, be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Why? Because the days are what? Evil, right? The days are evil. We know there's bad stuff around us all the time. We know the enemy is real, alive, and he wants to attack and bring things into our life that would take us away from this. But we need to be wise, making the most of every day. Therefore, do not be foolish. That's a whole other level. Like, being foolish is like choosing to go into dangerous things. It's choosing to walk outside of God's will, right? Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. That's what we want you to have by the end of this series, to understand what the Lord's will is for your life. And last week, we defined the Lord's will in a way that a lot of people came up to me and said, I never understood it that way before. And was that helpful last week, talking about how the Lord's will and the three wills of God and what that looks like? Was that helpful? Yes? Okay. If it wasn't, I'll just stop right now. We'll just do whatever. But yes, okay. So that was helpful last week. And I wanted to take it to another level and use this illustration of a fire pit. Grateful for us being able to use this fire pit this morning. So a fire pit is something that's really cool. Anybody have fire pits like on your back porch, that kind of stuff, or out in your back? Like, I know people who love fire pits. There's a lot of cool things that happen around a fire. It's usually a relational space, or it's a chill space. It's a comfortable space to be. The fire brings warmth. You hear the crackles. There's almost a comfort in the sound of what's happening in a fire, and it's kind of mesmerizing. It's just a lot of good things that happen when you're just hanging around a fire in a fire pit, right? And so we have this fire pit, and inside this fire pit, when you build a fire, and this isn't the way you build a fire, okay? I know we got some Boy Scouts out there, like, he doesn't know how to build a fire. Like, that's just, you don't put the logs like that to build a fire. I know that. This is illustration, all right? So don't send me an email later. Tim, this is how you build a fire. I have a whole story on almost, never mind. Okay, so I got to stay focused. We got time. So I'm using this as an illustration. Inside, so this fire pit represents the things that God wants in your life. It's like living in God's blessing and protection. That's what the fire pit is for the fire. It's where the fire is blessed and protected, right? It's where it brings warmth and the good things it's supposed to bring to you. And so inside of this, representing all that, we have the three wills of God, right? We started last week with this one, right? This is God's sovereign will. We talked about this last week. God's sovereign will is that he has a will, and he's going to accomplish it no matter what, right? This is the part of God's character that he knows what was, what is to come. And he has a plan for everything in the midst of all that, just in general, like the 30,000-foot view of life. And in his sovereignty, he's going to accomplish all that he desires to accomplish, right? This is God's sovereign will. We can't change that. We can't, like, this is God. This is all God, okay? Now, inside of God's sovereign will, he has this other thing that's called his moral will. So this is the second will we talked about last week. His moral will is that part of his will for us that he shares with us in his word. This is how to live a moral and upright life. These are the things that we talked about last week by example of the Ten Commandments, right? The Ten Commandments are part of God's moral will. And the moral will is how we relate with each other, how he desires that, his will, his desire for that, and how we relate with him. That is his moral will and what that looks like with each other, okay? So his sovereign will, he's going to accomplish what he wants. His moral will, he's given it to us and says, live with inside of these things, and you're going to experience some really good things in your life because that's the way God created it, all right? So we got sovereign will, his moral will. I had these stacked just nice and neat. Okay, there, now you can read it. And the thing that we wrestle with most is this one, though, right? God's then personal will for my life. So I can trust that he's got something going on, and I can trust that his word is true, and like he's got, you know, he told me how to live through his love letter to us, the scriptures. But I want to know, what am I personally supposed to do? Like, what is his will for me? Like, what job am I supposed to have? What person am I supposed to date or marry, or should we have kids or not have kids, or how many kids? Do we have another kid? Should I take this job or that job? Should we move here or that, right? This is all this personal will stuff, and we wrestle with this in seasons of life. And I know for my life, like, I really wrestle with this stuff more in, like, my teens, early 20s, even into my 30s. By the time I hit, like, 40s, I felt like, okay, God, I've been through enough to, I think, understand this one. And so sometimes it is life experience that you just have to go through and grow through, right? But this is what we're trying to find an answer to. I'm telling you, by the end of the series, I'm hoping you'll be able to walk on that journey yourself, okay? I don't know God's personal will for you in this realm, all right? This is between you and God and the Holy Spirit and what he has working. Because it's that passage that God has prepared good works in advance for us to do, for you to do. He has a plan for those things that he wants. And so that's the personal will part of there we go. Now you can see him a little bit. That is the personal will. So when all three of these parts of God's will are in the place that they're supposed to be, like this fire ring, when the fire's in the fire, it brings good things. It brings protection from like fire doing things it shouldn't do, right? It brings warmth, it brings comfort, it brings crackling and sounds, and it brings all the good things that fire's supposed to bring. It's the same way with God's will. When we are inside this realm of blessing and we keep all of these wills together, we can experience what God desires for us. Remember, this was my last point, I think, from last week. It's this process of, while trusting God's sovereign will and living inside his moral will, you will find his personal will for your life. It's like one building off the other, okay? Does everybody remember that from last week? It was just kind of quiet there. All right. This is why I know you're going to forget two-thirds of what I say on a Sunday, and I know you still love me. It's all good. All right, so, but while trusting God's sovereign will, right, that's that overarching thing, while trusting that, and then living inside God's moral will, we're going to talk about this one today, the moral will one, okay, that then when we're inside that circle, the personal will living inside of that circle starts to be revealed to us. We start to understand what it is and what we're going to do to walk into it, okay? I'm going to keep coming back to this fire pit a little bit, but does that make sense? Okay, good. Last week I told you I was going to unpack four passages, the four scriptures that we see that specifically say this is God's will for you, okay? Now, there's a lot of inference to the will of God in different passages. Actually, you see Paul talk about a lot in his letters. If it's God's will, I'll come and join you in this city. Or if it's God's will, I'll meet you there. Or like that kind of phraseology, we're not going into that because that is kind of the trusting of God, right? I have a plan and I want to do things, and we have plans and want to do things. And Paul was saying, I've got a plan. I want to come see you over in this city, but only if it's God's will, if God lets that happen, if it's his desire, right? Does that make sense? So I'm not going to into those passages. I'm going into the very specific ones that are very clear when we are talking about God's will, all right? So let's hop into it. You got your notes out?
Yeah.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
All right. See, I got, all right, Todd's up here. He's my cheerleader, man. He's like keeping me awake and alive. First one, go team. First one. First one is this, first will of God that we want to talk about, the very first thing, it is God's will for you to believe in Jesus Christ, okay? It's God's will for you to believe in Jesus Christ. All right, everybody write that down. Here's the passage in John 6, verse 40. This is Jesus talking, so this is like, you know, the letters in red, you know, as Jesus is speaking. He says, for my Father's will, talking about God in heaven, my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son, Jesus, and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. It's a very specific sentence here, right? This is where Jesus is telling us, this is my Father's will for you, right? Whenever you read a verse like that, it says, this is God's will, this is my Father's will, our antennas should go up, right? Because this is getting into God's desire, his what pleases him. It's my Father's will that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. And I will raise them up at the last day. There's a promise attached to that, right? It's God's will that we would accept the gift of salvation. Does everybody accept the gift of salvation?
Yes.
No, they don't. All right, we need to work together a little bit here. God wants them to.
Yeah.
God wants them to, but do they? No, because now we're talking about free will. My personal desire, right? My what pleases me. God didn't make us as robots, and I talk about that a lot. Like, we have our own will. We have our own choices. It's not the Father's will to make us robots and make us choose Christ. It's God's will that everyone who looks to the Son and believes shall have eternal life. So God's will is that Jesus saves people. That's the will of God. He wants that to happen for everyone. He made the way for that to happen, everyone. But then we have our free will, our choice, our pleasure, what we want to do here on this earth, that decides if we're going to accept that or not. If we're going to believe on Christ Jesus, or if we're going to be like, that's good for you, or that's good for those people, but that's not really on me. That's everybody's choice. I'm grateful that God has not made us robots, and we have that choice. The attachment to the promise of that choice is then that Jesus said, I will raise them up in the last day. So we have this promise of eternity, being raised up in the last day to be with him forever, if we accept by our free will what he has chosen to do for us. God's desire for the lost is that they would be saved. They would understand they can be found in God and that they could have a relationship with him. Every other thing we're going to talk about through this series, every other thing in the fire pit of God's will can only be found when we have a relationship with him. You can't find it without him. And so many people are searching for that thing or that kind of whatever that is, right? But you cannot find God's will for your life if you don't know the God who has it for your life. It all starts here. It all starts with believing in Christ Jesus. That's why New Hope exists. We are here to preach the gospel, and we do every single week. And so I don't want to keep moving on with any other of these, the other two that I'm going to talk about today, until I ask that question to you. Have you believed in Christ Jesus? Have you accepted Jesus as the one to look on and believed in him so that you can have eternal life? Have you made that decision? Have you started that relationship with God? Do you hold on then to the promise of what he's already done and what he will do, coming back and bringing you with him in the end of all things? If you have not, I would plead with you. Today's a great day to change the trajectory of your entire life. Today's a great day to move from death to life. Today's a great day to change your eternal destination. And it only comes on believing in Christ Jesus. That's it. No other way. You cannot climb that ladder to heaven. You guys know I use that illustration a lot around here at New Hope. I talk about the ladder climb to heaven. That the ladder is like the way to heaven, and we think our goodness or being good enough as we climb it. I'm good today. I'm good. I'm doing good stuff. I'm helping people. I'm being kind. That we climb up that ladder to finally see God or get to God or nirvana or whatever that thing is, right? And we know that we cannot climb that ladder, and there's no way we will ever be good enough to get to the top of that ladder to reach a holy, perfect God. Because it would require our perfect holiness to be in the presence of his perfect holiness. And he knew that. He said, I want to be with them, but they can't be with me because they are not holy. They cannot stand in my presence. And I cannot relate with them. But I will choose to make a way and send my son down the ladder to die on the cross, to pay for their sin, that removes the opportunity to get up to that top ladder rung, right? And so Jesus is going to pay that debt that they couldn't pay on the cross. It's going to be his blood instead of your blood, my blood, that should be shed for our own sin. And he said, I'm going to accept that sacrifice. As long as they believe on him, they can be on that ladder, and Jesus will be pulling them up the whole way. Does that mean we're going to be perfect in this world? No, but it means we're forgiven. And that's a much better position to be in before God. If you want to accept the forgiveness of a holy God, believe in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the Son of the Holy God, died on the cross for your sin. But do you know what? He didn't stay dead. Amen?
Amen.
There is no tomb where you can find the bones of Jesus. You can find the bones of all other religious leaders that have ever walked this planet, except for Jesus. Because he wasn't there. 3 days later, he conquered death through the power of the Holy Spirit. Empty grave, empty tomb, and he showed himself to hundreds. Here I am, eyewitnesses, saying, wow, he is alive. And then he started this thing called the church, that we call the church. And it's been growing ever since. There's plenty of proof of Jesus. Are you looking for him? He's looking for you. And so today, if you want to take that step, I'm going to stop in the middle of my sermon and say, I'm going to pray with you. And you can confess Christ as your Savior. You can confess that he died for your sins. And you can invite him into your life and say, I want that relationship. Forgive me now and forever. And you can believe on the name of Jesus Christ. Because that's God's will for everyone. If they so choose. Let's pray right now. If you here or you online, if anybody, you want to take that step. Because the rest of the sermon series will be meaningless if you don't. You can take that step right now. And if God's like, your heart's like pounding out of your chest and you're like, oh, what is going on with me? It's probably the Holy Spirit saying, yes, I want to be with you. And I would encourage you to take that step right now. Let's pray. If you want to pray this, you can pray it in your own words. I say no magic prayer of the pastor. I don't get you to heaven at all. Jesus does. But you can say this. You say, God, thank you for sending your son Jesus. I believe he is your son, that he died on the cross for my sins, should have been me. I believe he rose from the grave 3 days later. And that because he lives, I can be alive with you forever. I confess my sin to you. Forgive me of my sins. Help me run away from them. Enter into my heart. Enter into my life. Give me your Holy Spirit. I want to be saved and I want to be yours forever. I give you my life. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If that's you today, maybe you're watching this some other time online, I want to know about that. I want to know you took a step today. And that's why we have our Connect card. You just mark on the back your Connect cards. We can be praying for you. We can help you start that journey with God. But that's the first thing I need you to understand with God's will. Believe in Christ Jesus at the beginning of this whole journey. It is when you start to understand the fire pit. It's when you start to understand the protection and the blessings God has for you and start living into them. That's the beginning of all of it, okay? Believe in Jesus Christ. Okay. You ready for number two? Number two is going to be a lot of fun. You guys ready for the second one? Yeah? I got Todd up here saying, yes. All right. Are you all ready? Yes. All right. This one's so much fun. You guys are going to have a blast. Abstain from sexual sin. Woo! Let's go. Let's preach. Here we go. All right. So this is now we're talking about God's moral will. Right? We're getting into God's moral will. It's God's will that you accept Christ Jesus, and then he has plans for you to live inside the fire pit of God's protection and blessing, right? And that is his moral will, right? These are the things we're going to be talking about today. His moral will for you, the things he desires for you. And when we talk about sex and sexuality, and we see it all throughout the Old Testament and New Testament, like God's story hasn't changed. There's been lots of messiness. This topic I'm going to dig into, and just so you know, I'm not afraid to talk about this stuff. Some of you in New Hope are like, yeah, he's not, okay? And so we're going to talk about this stuff, and the reason we want to talk about it here at New Hope is because not many other places talk about this stuff, and yet it's one of the most distorted, shame-filled things the enemy uses to hurt people. Sex, sexuality, and we need to understand God's willingness. Okay, so here's the passage, 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 through 8, okay? It is God's will. It starts off right there. It is God's will that you should be sanctified. That's a really kind of churchy word, sanctified. It means you should be holy. You should be set apart. You should look different than the world, right? To be sanctified. And then he qualifies it, that you should avoid sexual immorality. That each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God. And that in this matter, no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. Then it gets really serious. He's like, the Lord will punish all those who commit such sins, as we told you and warned you before. He talks about it quite a bit, right? Verse 7, for God did not call us to be impure, but to live what kind of life? A holy life, right? Therefore, anyone who rejects this, now it gets even more qualification. Anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject a human being, but God, the very God who gives you his Holy Spirit. We're getting really blunt right with this one, with God's will one. He's like, it's God's will that you be sanctified. You look different than the rest of the world. And especially when it comes to this issue, sex and sexuality, and what that looks like. And if you don't listen to the instruction, just don't shoot the speaker, okay? That's what he's saying. Like, Paul was like, don't point that at me. Like, don't try to shoot me. He's like, this is God's instruction. This is what God designed for sex and sexuality. It's this whole image of moral purity, that the pure of heart will see God, that we are called as Christ followers into his moral will to live inside of sexual purity. I found this definition, and I really like this definition of, it's not up here. I'll have to read it to you, okay? Of sexual purity. This would be, I would agree with this definition. Sexual purity is consensual sexual expression between a husband and wife within the covenant of a marriage. That's the definition I see all throughout Scripture. That God put this covenant relationship together called marriage, right from the very beginning with Adam and Eve. That they were covenant, meaning they made an agreement with each other that you're it, you're mine. And then God enters into that covenant relationship. And that inside that covenant relationship comes intimacy. It comes knowing each other like nobody else will know you, right? That's that intimate knowledge of one another down to the level of sexual purity and intimacy with each other. There's no one else that should know you at that level of oneness except for your spouse. That is God's image of this. Of moral sexuality, of purity when it comes to this, okay? Now, some of you are like, well, that sounds really old-fashioned, Tim, and that sounds like from a long time ago, and that sounds... So I want to help you with some things, okay? Because I know we've done a lot of counseling here at New Hope, and we've helped a lot of people through a lot of different things. And this topic right here is probably one of the big ones. It's one of the ones that continually comes up. When I was a kid, somebody touched me inappropriately. When I started dating, the person I was dating took advantage of me, asked me to do things I wasn't comfortable with, but I felt like I had to. When I was this age, all of a sudden I was exposed to pornography, and I started needing to see it every day, and I started a habit in my life, and I never can break that habit. See, we see these stories all the time. So when we talk about these things, I'm talking out of a spirit of love. You guys need to know that. Because I've seen so much hurt, so much damage, so much relational just baggage and brokenness attached to this. There's reasons why God designed this to be inside his protection, right? So you think about sex, okay? Let's use this. No, I got to be careful my words on this one. All right. Let's think about this fireplace and this fire pit in the realm of sex and sexuality, right? And so we're talking about God's moral will. So if God created sex to be inside of a marriage, so when it's inside this fire pit, if I set a fire in this fire pit, even if I did it inside right now, we would actually be safe. It'd be okay. It might be a little smoky, right? It'd be like, whew, all right, let's not do that anymore. But it would be confined within this fire pit. It'd bring all the things that it was supposed to bring. That the moment I would say, well, I'm going to say it's my personal choice what I do with my sex and sexuality. And I know God might say some stuff, but that's all old school. And instead, I'm going to start the fire back over here. So imagine then if I grabbed, because it's usually not a single process, I grab another person who's involved in that. And then we add a little bit of kindling, something more dry to like, ooh, let's spice this thing up. If I started a fire over here, what would happen? It becomes dangerous now, doesn't it? All of a sudden, the carpet's melting. All of a sudden, it's spreading to other things that we didn't want to necessarily be caught on fire. It's creating all sorts of hurt. It's the same way when we take what God designed in sex and sexuality and we take it outside, it's the same thing. All of a sudden, we're not in God's protection. We're not in God's promise. We're not in the intimacy in God's design and desire for marriage and relationships. We're going to hurt ourselves. We're going to hurt others. And I'm telling you, I see it over and over and over again, how that happens in people's life. God designed it and desires it to be a certain way for a reason. He is not a bummer of a God, okay? He's not like, well, don't have fun. I'm telling you, sex should be awesome. If it's not in your marriage, we're going to talk about that at some marriage retreat or something, right? I'm not going to embarrass everybody here on a Sunday morning on that one, but sex inside of marriage should be that intimate place. It should be awesome. Man, you should rejoice in it. You should enjoy it. It should be a blessing to be a part of, because that was God's design and wiring. But even inside, when we think we're doing it, and it's like, yes, it's inside of a marriage, but we're still letting other things in that shouldn't be there, it can still become very dangerous. The cause of sexual immorality in people's lives is this word, shame. I don't know how many people carry that badge and wear that when it comes to sex. It's shame. They don't know what to do with that shame. They don't know what to do with the hurts attached to it. They don't even know who to talk to about it. I want to share with you some things that aren't in the Bible, okay? Just to show you culturally what's going on in the culture and what has gone on in the culture when it comes to this issue. So many people, I would say pornography is huge, right, in our culture right now. The availability. Every mobile device, you're like 10 seconds away from being able to see and experience whatever you want to. In your pocket with a cell phone, it's crazy. The number of people who are struggling with sexual addictions or unbreakable habits is just gone up like crazy in the last 10 years. Cohabitation, hooking up before marriage, that's become the norm in society, right? That's just a cultural norm. Like, when I grew up in the 90s, that's when it kind of started becoming like, just chill, man. Like, this is okay, you know? Anybody watch the show Friends? I honestly think that was a cultural phenomenon that actually helped to increase that. It's like, well, they're just all hanging out, and they're hooking up, and they're, like, it's just life. You try things out, and you try people out. And that's just how it goes. And so you cohabitate with each other, you live together. 60% of people, these are studies, college studies, university studies, 60% of divorced people say that porn was a contributing factor to their divorce. That's a pretty big number, 60%. Let me read you some stats when it comes to some of these things, cohabitation, sexuality. Teen girls who are sexually active, a survey was taken that 25% of them really struggle with depression, with only 7% of those who are not active sexually struggle with depression. It seems like there might be a correlation attached to that, okay? This was a study done by the National Marriage Project from the University of Virginia. They did a study of those in their 20s. Half of people in their 20s said that that you should agree to live together before marriage so you can see if you can get along. So a little over half of them. Two-thirds of them believed that it was a good way to avoid divorce later on, okay? So they thought, we're going to try each other out. And then that way, if we do get married, you know, we'll be sure. It's not going to lead to divorce. Meg Jay wrote a book, and she did a research study that studied this cohabitation issue. It said the primary reason for women to cohabitate is to take a step towards marriage. That was their main reason. Okay? the primary view of this for men was to take a step to stall marriage. Like, this is research. They were honest in their answers. The secondary reason for women was for companionship and relationship. The secondary reason for men was to have more frequent sex. There's been no research that has found that cohabitation leads to a happier or longer marriage. Actually, the research shows that you have a higher chance of divorce if you cohabitate beforehand. It's actually 80% divorce rate for those who have cohabitated after they've gotten married. So the 20-something think it's going to help them, but in all honesty, the research says it won't, because they're trying to find answers in places that they're not going to find them. They're looking for assurances that they can't find anywhere else. Actually, the University of South Carolina did a study that says you're more likely to have affairs if you cohabitate before than those that don't. That you're more likely to argue more, have trouble solving conflicts, usually have more insecurity about one another's feelings, you don't feel an openness, and there's lower levels of emotional and physical satisfaction in those relationships. This isn't the Bible, okay? I'm just telling you the stats from the research from secular universities who are trying to figure out this whole phenomenon of cohabitation. Is it helping or isn't it? And across the board, they're saying it's not helping. And yet, the culture says it's the way to go. What I'm trying to tell you is that at some point, God's ways will be understood to be the ways of his protection and his blessing, whether you know him or not. They're just smart, and they actually produce better things in your life when you live inside of his moral will. And that's whether you're a Christian or not. Like, you could be not a Christian and still be doing the right things and doing them in the right order, and you'll get to experience the good things attached to those. But I'm telling you, it's so much better when you actually walk with Christ in this area. I would say this: don't expect God to honor something where he isn't placed in first honor to begin with. So when we go outside of God's moral will and we make choices and we're saying, God, honor me in this choice, that doesn't make any sense, does it? It's God, bless my mess. And it's like, yes, there are things that are messy in our lives. Yes, there's things that we've done. There's thirds. I need you to hear me very clearly right now. I'm not talking from a position of judgment and guilt. That's not why I'm up here saying these things. I'm saying them so that we can understand truth, realities, and then respond to them accordingly, right? It gives us the right to know the reality so we can choose to do the right thing and make the right choices, especially sex and sexuality. God put it in order for a reason. And I know there's people in this room, as I'm talking about this, you've done it in the wrong order, and you're experiencing the pain because of it. And I feel heartbroken for you. I need you to hear this very loud and clearly. God can redeem everything and anything. Amen? Like, I don't want you to live in the shame. That's the enemy's playground. Shame, 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 shame. Guilt, 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 guilt. Put you down, and you start putting name tags on that the enemy, like, puts all over you. And it's like, run away from that as fast as you can. God can redeem all the hurts, the pains, the bad choices. He can redeem all those things as we start to walk into his moral will and his sovereign will for our life, and we start to understand his personal will and what that looks like. We can start walking back towards God because of his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness, his longing for relationship for you. That is his desire, and that is his will for you, okay? That's what he longs for. And so if you have been attacked, if this area of your life is not in the purity that God designed and desires, there is no better time than now than to start walking towards that, his moral purity in your sex and sexuality. If you need help, and I guarantee you on this one, you're going to need some help, I would encourage you to get real and to get honest with someone, you know, with somebody. Because the moment it gets out of the dark is the moment the enemy gets to keep it. The moment you take that dark thing, nobody knows this, and nobody knows what I've gone through, nobody knows this hurt, nobody, the moment it goes from that and that shame thing that keeps playing off, and you say, this happened to me, or this is what I did, and I feel so bad about it. I don't want that anymore. The moment it comes out to the light, man, the enemy's like, crap. Because now you have people who are saying, I want to help you on that. And Jesus is like, finally, yes, I want to walk with you into freedom from that. And you can let him take you on that journey of freeing you from shame, from sin, from brokenness, from all the things. And you can walk into this area of your life. Don't expect God's blessing when you're living outside of his moral will for your life. Okay? We need to walk towards it, and he blesses us on the journey towards his moral will. All right, I'm going to stop there. Everybody good? Yes. This is tricky, isn't it? You're like, I didn't come here thinking Tim was preaching on that today, right? So we're like, I got kids in here, Tim. And I'm like, yeah, they're hearing it from other people, y'all. They need to hear it in the church. They need to hear it because Jesus said it. They need to hear it because God's word says it. They need to hear it from you as a mom and a dad. Because they're hearing it from everywhere else and everybody else. Let's be the people that preach it. All right, here we go. So God's will is for you to believe in Christ Jesus. That's where it all starts. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality. That means run from it. When it shows up, you're automatically, pew, you're gone. You're out of there, right? You're running away from it. You're not toward it. You're leaving it behind you so you can walk in the holiness that God calls you to. And the third one I'm going to talk about today is this. It is God's will that you give thanks in everything, okay? It's God's will, you give thanks in everything. Okay, I'm 2 minutes over. Oh, no, I still have 2 minutes left. That means I'm going to take another 20 minutes. All right, here we go. It is God's will for you to give thanks. Some of you are like, yeah. Some of you are like, oh. All right, so 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. All right. See what's in that bottle? Yeah, thank you. It's just water, I promise. Thessalonians. All right. No. It's God's will if you're not be drunk, too. All right. That's in the Bible. Like, don't get drunk. No. It says this. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Where did we start? We want to be first. In Christ Jesus. That's where we started first. And because we are in Christ Jesus, God's will for us is rejoice how often?
Always.
Pray continually and give thanks. Now, this is tricky. In all circumstances. It's God's will that we give thanks in all. Tim, you just talked about like sexual pain and all that kind of crap. And now you're telling me, give thanks in all circumstances. Like, whoa, whoa, whoa. This doesn't seem right. How do you do that? God's design for us is the good things, right? Sometimes we go through bad things to get to the good things. Sometimes the journey towards the blessing goes through a valley that is very, very difficult because we would never understand the beauty of the blessing without the complexity of the pain. God does not want you to be held in a place of pain. He wants to take you from that pain to the mountain of blessing and promise. But so often what we choose to do in the valley is to squat and sit and stay. And that's not God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In this world, we will have trouble, Jesus said. We're all going to go through things. This is not a perfect world. I can't wait for the perfect to come. I can't wait for Jesus to come back. But we have to. It's in his timing, his sovereign will, whenever he designed and desires that to come about. In this place we live in between, we need to learn what it looks like in the good times and the bad times to give thanks. If you don't know how to give thanks in difficult situations, there's something else that gets put in its place, okay? It's so easy in the difficulties of life to when we stay there or we live with unforgiveness. That's a big one. Because unforgiveness, somebody sinned against you, and then you get in that valley because of their sin against you, and you say, I ain't forgiving them. You got to be kidding me. What they did to me? Or something bad happens to you. You make a dumb choice, and you're like, that was my choice. I'm just sit here. I'm just stay in this pit. It's my fault even. I'm going to hang out here. If we stay there, the thing that grows is nothing good. That is where you become a victim. And that's where bitterness takes root. And so Jesus says, it is God's will for you to not stay a victim in the pits of life, but to rise up with Christ Jesus, because that's who you're with, and not let bitterness, because that's what comes next. I'm bitter now at that person. I'm bitter at the circumstance. And if that starts taking root, you're going to become a bitter, ugly person. And you have to learn how to forgive. Forgiving is releasing them from the judgment you want them to experience. We're going to do a whole series about forgiveness, because we know this is a big one for people. So right after this God's Will one, we're going to talk about forgiveness. We're going to go deep into it, okay? Because we know so many of you need freed from things. You need to understand this really deep stuff. So I'm just going to go a little not so deep this morning. When you learn to forgive, you release judgment from your hands and let God be the one that takes it. And you can say, God, whatever this thing is, I know you're working it out for your and my good. Right? That's what God wants to do. He works all things for his good. This is what it says. It's Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, how many things? All things. Always, continually, in all circumstances. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to whose?
His
purpose, his will, right? We know he will allow us to go through difficult things to then bring better things in the next season of life. We have to trust him in that process and say, I'm going to give thanks because I'm trusting God, something good's coming. I'm not going to stay here in bitterness and unforgiveness. I'm going to release that. I'm going to say, God, this is hard. It's okay to be real with God. We see the Psalms and David's like, God, I'm in a pit. I don't like where I'm at. My enemy's coming to kill me. But you, God. He always changes his point of view. But you, God. Like, God, this is who you are. Show up. Move. Right? It's that I trust good things are coming in the next season of life. And we have to trust him. We have to give thanks in all circumstances. Sometimes we go through hard things, but we can go through something hard and expect something good. I want to talk about something that I have no idea about, okay? So I want to talk about childbirth for a minute. Anybody in here ever had kids? Right? Any mamas? Was that just a beautiful, fun experience? Right? Like there was just like, right? I'm amazed that there's more than one child that was ever born on this planet, right? Because childbirth is a painful experience. And for our boys, I was in the room and I was in pain, and I wasn't even in pain, right? Like I'm sitting there going, I'm like traumatized. Like, why is she going through this and this, that? It's like, I was like a ghost. So the nurses were looking at her and then looking at me. Is he going to faint? Are we good? Right? Like this whole thing. Giving birth to a child is crazy what a woman's body goes through. But listen, that pain, even though so much, so deep and so great, the joy of that baby eclipses that pain. That's why there's more babies in this planet. Right? See, that's how God works. We can go through pain, but we can give thanks because we know a blessing is on the other side. Y'all with me?
Yes.
All right. It's God's will that you believe in Christ Jesus, abstain from sexual sin, and give thanks in every circumstance. And it spells bag. So I want you to put these three in your bag and take them home with you, okay? Last week it was gap. Remember, God fills in the gap with his will that is good, acceptable. And I actually, the last word should have been perfect from that Ephesians. Or was it Ephesians? Good, acceptable, and perfect. The gap. And today it's bag. So you all go shopping to Gap and get some bags, all right? Put this in your bag. Believe in these things and trust God. Let's pray. God, I know this stuff we're talking about, your personal will for us, your moral will, your sovereign will. Today, I want to proclaim and help us to trust you. we know that you have things happening. We know that you know all things, which in our little minds is so hard to understand. And yet, in the full knowledge, you still choose to know us individually, personally, every day, just our small stories in this bigger story. And I'm so grateful that you are such a personal God. As we go on this journey, God, we want to walk closer to you. We want to walk into the promises so we can experience the blessings. And we want to rejoice even in the hard times, knowing you have something good on the other side of it. But knowing we may go through another pit, and that's okay, because you're with us. We don't walk alone. God, I know there's people here who are hurt and hurting, going through things I can never understand, but I know you do. Comfort them with a comfort that only comes from your Spirit. Lead them deeper into your presence and your love. And those that need to walk into forgiveness, whether it's forgiving someone else or them receiving the forgiveness you give them, oh, just let them just relish in the depths of that forgiveness and that they would be set free. Help us trust your sovereign will. Help us walk in your moral will, the good things you have for us, so that we can, through this journey, experience your personal will, the good things you have prepared. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Everybody said amen. 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 All right, Nikki, where's Nikki? Nikki's going to come up and just share with us some things here at the end and go from there. Hey.
Hi. Thank you, Pastor Tim. That was a really great message this morning. I want to do a recap, but we don't want to keep you guys too long here. But I really hope that you guys received a lot this morning. I know I personally did, a lot to think about. And I pray that we all just grow closer to the Lord as we continue this series. We'll be continuing the series again next Sunday of Finding God's Will. So make sure you all come back and keep joining us. All right, for everybody that's here in person, online, please go ahead and fill out the Connect card. Whether you've been at New Hope for many years or this is your first time, please fill out the Connect card. Let us know that you joined us today. If you are not with us, you can go to mynewhope.tv/connect. Scan that QR code, however you want to fill it out, but we want one from everybody. A few events that we have coming up. The first one is on Sunday evening, October 31st, we are going to have a prayer and worship evening here at New Hope. It's going to just be 1 hour long. It's going to start at 6, be over at 7. If you want to come to a time, our worship band is going to be up here just to sing some worship songs, to get your heart right with the Lord, just kind of a time of renewal, of reflection, maybe of revival. That's what we're going to be doing here at the church on that Sunday evening, October 31st. I hope that you join us. It's going to be a really powerful evening as we just join together as a church that night. So I hope you can come. Now, today we have an event going on, and it's a New Hope Kids Parents event. If you have a child in our New Hope Kids wing at all, we have a meeting for you that's directly after the service today. And so right after I pray, go ahead and go back, get your kid, and then go over to the warehouse. It's only going to be about a 15-minute meeting. You're going to be getting told what kind of lessons and the activities that your kid has been learning in church lately. You're going to be getting to see personally what your child has been experiencing back in those rooms. It's going to be really great. So please make sure that if you have a kid today, go back, get them, and then just stay for that extra 15 minutes. I think everybody gets candy. So, you know, I'd stay 15 minutes for candy. I mean, that's kind of cool. Okay. The next thing that I have for you is Growth Track. It's something that we do every month. It'll start again in November. If you wanted to do it in October and you missed it, hang on. We're doing it again in November. It'll start on Sunday, November 7th. This is time for you to get to know more about what we do as a church. What does it mean to be a Christ follower? How do I serve the Lord? What do I do? So you definitely want to go through Growth Track if that's not something that you have done yet. That is your next step. And so on your Connect card, you can check that box, Growth Track. We'll get you more information, and then you can start going to that in November. The last thing that I have for you guys is just giving. This is something that we add to our worship celebration every single Sunday. Giving is an act of worship. It's saying, God, everything that I have belongs to you, and I'm just going to give you a portion back of what you bless me with. There's lots of ways to give. You could do it. There's envelopes in front of you that are here in person. Fill it out. Put your offering in. Put it in the teal box on your way out. If you want to give online, mynewhope.tv/give, scan the QR code. Lots and lots of ways to give. I have a picture for you guys. This happens every Thursday during the Triway Junior High's lunch hour, and it's called Titan Christian Education. This is a religious release program. It's not allowed to happen in the schools, but kids want to learn about Jesus, and a lot of these kids don't have a church. And so guess where they come on Thursdays? They get bused to New Hope, and they sit in our warehouse, and they get to learn about Jesus and play games together and stuff. And this is an awesome thing that we do as a church every single week on Thursdays. One thing that I absolutely love about this is that we host it, but the guy who's standing there, he's a youth pastor at Grace. There's another guy back there. He's a youth pastor at Church of the Nazarene. There's also Ripley Church of Christ that's represented by a youth pastor from there. And so it's not just we get to host it and all these other churches are coming together, and that's what the church is all about. That's what the church is. So I just love it. It's so great. If you ever are free on a Thursday between 11 and 12, peek your head in, because it'll bring a smile to your face. This is something. So this is what we get to do as a church. Because of your giving, we get to provide opportunities for people to grow closer to the Lord. And it's not just on Sunday morning. It happens all week long in our community. So that's really awesome. Okay, so that's it for today. God is up to great things. You guys have a lot to absorb from Pastor Tim's message. Why don't we go ahead and stand to our feet, and I'll pray as we head out this morning. Dear Jesus, you are good, and you are good at being good, and you want your goodness to be a part of every single one of our lives, Lord. And I pray that as we receive the message that Pastor Tim brought to us from your word this morning, that we will realize that in order to receive all the goodness that you have for us, that we have to stay inside the confines of your will for our lives, God. You've provided a safety net for us, that if we stay in that safety net, that we could experience the goodness and the blessing that comes from being in the center of your will for our lives, God. In the areas that we have not been in your will, may you forgive us, and I know that you do. And may we not live in shame for the things that we have done outside of your will, God. Help us just to move forward and then get into your will, God, and to accept the things that you have for us and live into those, and that we'll receive the blessing for it. God, I pray a blessing over every single person that's here today. God, may they experience the love and the goodness of Jesus as they go from here. In your name I pray. Amen. Have a great week.